Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
Anyway, good to be here once again.
And it's good that all of you are out there are still here and be here for another Saturday night. Memorial Day weekend, I guess, is what I heard. I remember before Memorial Weekend was the first time we would start doing outdoor gigs on the Raz, you know. Now they don't do that, you know. Sometimes things are good, and then somebody else sees you doing something good, then they go ruin it. So nobody else does it again, no more, you know. I remember we used to do these gigs, and they're pretty good. One time, even the most wanted showed up at one of our concerts. That's where they caught him. I guess he got into it with his woman, and so they had a roadblock leaving the gig. So as soon as they pull up the roadblock, she says, "This guy is so-and-so, and he's wanted." Cold-blooded, you know, have a girlfriend like that, I guess. But anyway, I'm going to get too far away. I was happy to be here, and Saturday night, weather's nice. We beat it through the winter so far. Looks like it, and things are going good, you know. But, you know, things are going good, but there's always stuff going on out there in the world, you know. And it's hard to, especially, you know, problems. People out there looking for trouble, causing for trouble, shooting people, you know, and all kinds of other things that go on, you know. Start, you know, people just don't want to mind their own business and want to get in your business and want to come around and destroy, impose, you know. When somebody doesn't, when you don't agree with somebody, you should just stay away from them. But anyway, life is crazy, you know. You know, they're talking about neo-Nazis. The country's all scared of neo-Nazis, you know, like, wow, look what this guy did in Allen. He had Allen, Texas. He had neo-Nazi tattoos. Some guy tried to crash into the White House gate, said he's going to kill the president. He had Nazi flag. Everybody's scared of Nazis. But, you know, sometimes I wonder who's running this country. The other thing is how they support the Ukrainian government when they're neo-Nazi people, you know. Everybody, you know, but, you know, this, they're in denial of everything, you know. People are just in denial of everything, of facts, you know. I was reading a post some guy put up on Facebook about Pangaea. You never heard of Pangaea? Pangaea is how the Earth, the continent was, you know, 600 million years ago or a billion years ago. Who was around to know that, you know? But the Washichu never wants to accept things the way they are. You know, they always got to change something, you know? So they said that one time, this continent and European continent was all together, one big continent, you know. If you try to look at that, you know, picture that in your mind, that means one side of the earth was water and the other side was continents. That kind of don't match to me because, you know, I go by facts as much as possible. You know, of course, I never was up there to see what Earth looks like. But I've been up in airplanes and seen the horizon looking at the horizon in airplanes, and it's round. So I know it's round. I know the moon is round, you know. But yet the Washichu always try to say the earth is flat. You know, I don't even go off there because, you know. But anyway, they also, the same people that believe the earth was flat, saying that continents were together and then over all these years they separated and it turned into this continent. You know, they come into all these theories and beliefs. Now, I don't care what somebody believes, you know. You can believe whatever you want, but, you know, keep it to yourself. Or maybe your little crew you have. But don't come over talking to my people, trying to make them believe what you believe because somebody wrote it. Some idiot wrote it or believed that. I guess that idea of Pangaea, I don't have, you know, don't have no information on it, but it came out like 100 years ago or something. Some guy from Germany or Washichu from England or someplace brought up this big idea that the earth was divided. I mean, close. And then separated over, you know, the plates. They got plates underneath the earth. You know how scientists are. They come up with all this. Well, I don't care. You know? And why? My point is, believe what you want, whatever. But why worry about it? You know, Wakan Tanka, if he wanted us to know everything, he'd just show us. Right? But he's like everybody else, I guess. I mean, I'm speaking about him like a person. But to me, it's even like you're a parent, right? You're a parent. There are some things that you don't teach your kids that you know because you know it's going to affect them some kind of way, right? And I hope you hear me. It affects them, right? So you don't want them to know. Wakan Tanka is the same way. From what I feel, I can't say from what I know, but over years and years and years of, you know, carrying a chanupa and learning this way, you start, the more you learn, the more you understand. The more you understand, the more you respect. And like, the more you respect, the more privilege you are given. You understand what I mean? You know, it's like you have a bunch of kids, right? And they do whatever they want. They all got their little brains and minds and little goals and ambitions. But there's one of them that is always hanging out with you. Hopefully there's more than one. But there's always one that is following your way really good. So because that child is following your way, you work with that child and you give that child more privilege and you give that child, because you feel like that child is the one's gonna, you know, future, you know. We're trying to preserve our culture, traditions, and everything else, you know, so we want our children to do this. Well, sometimes, you know, everybody goes on their own trip. I did, you know. I went on my own trip for years and years, too many years to tell you the truth, you know. But anyway, so you get privilege. So we get privilege to know what's going on the more you know. But you're never going to know everything. You're never going to know what's going on in another universe. You can only guess. You never know when the end is coming? You could only guess. You never know nothing. And it's not important. It's not our job to dig under people's clothes to see what they got under there. But the Washita will do that. Man, if they, you know, they get so obsessed, they'll just tell you flat out, hey, take your clothes off. Let me look at you. You know? Normal person don't have that kind of thought. But anyway, it's not our job to disrobe. How can I say it? To look underneath what's really going on with our world, our life, our existence, our makeup, our ingredients that put us here, and all. It's not meant for us. So we got to live with what we have and be satisfied with what we have. You know, to me, I'm satisfied with learning how to put spark plugs in the car. I'm satisfied with little things that I know. I don't care what the hell's going on beyond, you know, in Jupiter and all that. Yeah, that's beautiful. I go out and look at the sky and the stars. It's beautiful. But I don't want to dwell on, dang, where it's at, where it came from, and how to get there. No, no, no. Anyway, they came up with this Pangaea, and they want to believe that. But I'm just saying, why are people so obsessed with this? You know, we have our elements. We have the land we live on. We have the water we drink. We have the air we breathe. And we have the fire. The sun represents this, you know, even the moon. And all this, we have to respect that. We have to respect the water, the air we breathe, and the land. That's why I don't like to run around spitting. I see people, they spit because they think it looks cool. They ain't spitting because they have to spit. They walk by. Spit, you know, because it looks cool, they think. Some guy even drilled holes in their teeth so when they spit it can squirt out. Yeah. You know, this earth, Wakantanka gave us Unchi, a mother, to feed us, to take care of us, a home to live on. That's what we live on. We need to respect her. You know, he put clothes on her, trees, covered her, you know, because she's a woman, you know, covered her, you know, she gives life, you know, in the ground, you throw a seed, boom, life comes up, everything. So why aren't they worried about this place? And making up, going off in their worlds. Anyway, I don't want to take too much of your time. You know, 2 hours will come flying past pretty quick, you know. I was just laughing. Well, it ain't funny at all. Some woman at Arby's, manager, she went into their walk-in freezer and got stuck in there. And died in there, froze to death. Finally, her son showed up a few hours later, went in there and found her. You know, it's like 10 below zero in there. Man, you know what? I don't be walking in a walk-in freezers without making sure I can get back out that door. I remember when I used to drive truck, even the trailer, open the back trailer, I see guys get up and run back in there. Not me. Someone might shut that trailer door while you're in there, you know? And me, good thing I watch gangster movies and all that. I guess makes me make a plan, you know, And like, how to get out of this? I know one thing, on a big semi-truck, the most vulnerable spot in a semi-trailer is the roof. The roof is the thinnest part of a truck. So if you ever get caught in there, bail out of that roof some kind of way. It's thin enough you can probably cram a knife through there, something, you know, just giving you some information. But if you're caught in a refrigerator, you know, what are you going to do? Go in there? Hell, man, I'm going in there with something to bust me out of there if I do go in there. And like I was telling somebody, I worked at a small Mexican restaurant when I was small. They told me to clean that, you know, freezer out a couple of times. I just went, you know what I did? I went back and turned that sucker off. You ain't supposed to do that, but I did. I figured I'm only going to be in there for so long, so I'll turn it off. Anyway, I go in there, work, block the door, you know, took a axe in there with me just in case and worked and got the hell out of there, you know, and had the chills every second I wasn't in there. Not from the cold either, but the chills, you know. Anyway, she did that, and then I was reading bad luck. And then some other guy raising alligators fell into the alligator pit and said the alligators devoured him. Man, you know, I mean, there's so many things that go on ways that people check out, you know. I guess it don't matter which way you're going to go. But, you know, or maybe you shouldn't even worry about how you go. But, man, to go out, you know, and some alligator devoured you. And then in Florida, this girl had her boyfriend get in a suitcase. I don't know what the hell he did that for. If you look on YouTube, it's in there. They call her the suitcase killer. While he was in her, she zipped it up. And then you could hear him saying, "Honey, let me out." Calling her name. She said, "Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out. F you." And she's getting mousy with him, and she filmed it. Then she goes up, goes to sleep. Next morning, she comes back. The guy's in there dead, you know. Yeah, strange stuff out there, you know. Don't be crawling in no suitcases. Don't be getting in no trucks. Don't be going in no walk-in trailers. And if you're around alligators, find someplace else to be around. With that, you know, let me get on the move here, see what's going on. Because I got the chills right now. I shouldn't even be talking about it. Now I'm going to be, you know, be all paranoid, and, you know. Yeah, be all, you know. That. Hey, let me tell you one more story, okay? You guys... I watched Pablo, what's that, Pablo Escobar movies. Man, don't watch them movies. And I was trucking, so I went to the shower at the truck stop and went in and took a shower. And when I was coming out, the door wouldn't open. I was stuck in that place. So I start freaking out. Too many Pablo Escobar movies, you know. I start banging, help me, oh, get the manager, blah, blah. Nobody's helping me. Well, they got a little wooden screen on the bottom of the door for ventilation. Man, my big ass busted through that, and I come crawling out of there, and all these hot applause. Well, she said, everybody see a big Chippewa Indian crawling out of there all wet and sweaty, you know. You know, they're looking at me, you know. And the manager comes, "What's going on?" I said, "I was locked in there, man, blah, blah, blah," you know. And they went and checked the door, and it was locked, you know, but they're really looking at that big hole I busted out in, you know, and everybody's looking at me. You know.
Yeah, small hole, bigger.
yeah, see, but I got out of there, man. I, you know, they looked at it, and I said, "You know, you should check your doors." You know, I got on their case and See, I got the hell out of there, man. After that, when I go to a truck stop for the shower, I'm making sure that door opens. You know, I even put something in there. I'd rather have someone walk in and catch me hot chola than get stuck in that door, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I put toilet paper in there so it don't lock all the way. Or better yet, I make sure my knife can open the door, you know, stick it through and open the door. Anyway, well, go ahead, Toshi. I'm, you know, enough of that.
No.
Getting paranoid. Sitting there all quivering.
Well, let's we'll say a prayer and then we'll get started. Some Dukshat, we'll discuss all of this after this. Well, we're going to say a prayer. Ich staube schon und gehe hab hier. Hätte schon gar schon hat schon gar sagt ja schon so eine ihr dann gehen war kein Jalan war kein Lucky schon gar schon. Na hat ich Text denn hoch. Ja, ihr dir gab sich denn noch schon gar schon wo geht check. Denn hoch ach ich am Sitz schon gar schon nicht war ich vom war ich hab sich denn ich staube nicht mit Zeit bei Paketing. Na hat schon gar schon hat ich Text. Na Gott ja der Lucky. Wie lang war ich bei Japan und schon kein Platz schon gar schon. Ja, mit Schozanicha und nicht ablechtet. In Kumushinkilan, Trukataka, Trukashla, Iohila. Schozanicha, Okihiona, Yushkia, Trukashla, Unshikichila, Napatak, Trukataka, Unyank, der Hoj, Chapel, Lechtat, Unshukila, Potrukashla. How, Mitakias?
Mitakias.
Ah, Mitakias. Let's make sure we talk about a good subject because I'm paranoid now.
Get away from Escobar.
Yeah. I'm going to bring my baby German Shepherd in here to sit by me.
I was thinking about this, what you were saying about these white supremacists and these so-called Nazis, that all these Washitus, they're all afraid. You know, think about this. You know, they put American Indian Movement on a watch list. The Washitu did this after 73, probably even before then, because they were called hostiles. Then they were considered militants. But if you look back on the history of this Washitu, they've never placed any of these Washitu organizations like the Proud Boys or this Nazism or whatever. They've never put any of those people on a watch list or considered them terrorists. Even these people from these Muslims, they put these types of people on a terror list, they call it. But the biggest terrorist is this Kill Happy Washitu, the American. Why don't they put those guys on the terror watch list? But they never do. They make excuses. All these Washitus make excuses to keep those guys in play. And I always wonder about that. They always talk about a boogeyman. The biggest boogeyman in America is these so-called Americans, especially these white ones. They put us on terror watch lists, American Indian Movement, our grandfathers. They called them wild, all this other stuff.
Savages,
you know. And we're still considered that. But what about
more
these?
So
what
than
about
that,
these
you know, do you know they put us on individually terrorist watch lists as individuals?
Yep.
More than groups. You know, they probably have your name out there, my brother's, mine.
Yep.
You know, as individuals, they do that. And, you know, there's people out there that are, you know, that really deserve to be kept an eye on, you know. But because we say something like I got kicked off of Facebook because I said that Washitu has stink feet, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I mean, you know, why are they, what the hell is that about, you know? So now I'm a terrorist because I say, well, she just have stink feet. I'm just saying, hint, wash your feet, you know? What's wrong with that? Is that a terrorist, you know? You know, hint, take vanilla so you don't be sweating like that, smell like vanilla or something, you know? But
yeah.
You see, that's how they are, you know? So we're individual, and you're right. The American Indian Movement, they put on the list, and it's still on there. It's still on there. And this radio show is always tuned in, you know? So if you're scared to talk, better not talk on this show, because they're tuning into you, and they're listening to everything you say. You know, the one thing about me and about us, none of us ever went out and threatened nobody. We don't threaten people. We don't say, hey, gather arms and let's go get them. We don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, we don't do that. Our main deal that we have is we're letting our people to know, watch out for them. Now, is that terrorist? Because we're saying watch out for them? Because they're doing this, they're doing that. Is that bad to warn our people, you know, to keep that in mind that they're out there to hurt you, you know? So we don't do that. I never did that. I never heard nobody come on this show. And sometimes there's people that want to feel like warriors, you know, and they start talking like that. I say, man, you know what? You cannot be a Lakota and be some violent hunting person at the same time, because a warrior defends his people. A warrior will feed his people. A warrior will look after his people, keep his people warm, look out for Wakayansha, Weon, the woman and the children. But, you know, that's what a warrior is. Yep. A warrior ain't this, hey, let's get together and how many guys can you get? Let's get some guns and let's put on some camis on and let's go out there and see if we can, you know. We don't do that. And neither did the American Indian Movement. They didn't do that. When they went to Wounded Knee, they didn't go there to terrorize. They went there to have a meeting, because Dick Wilson and all of them forbid them to be in Pine Ridge and started bullying them. So they went up to Wounded Knee to have a meeting. And right there, their rights were being violated, if you look at it as American rights, because, you know, they came after them. And the first thing they got shot at the meeting, they were getting shot at. But they say by the goons, but who knows? It was probably the FBI, U.S. Marshals. Yeah. Who knows who was shooting at them? Everybody says the goons. Well, it probably was the goons. But the point is, the shots being fired at the meeting was coming from the outside in. And it wasn't our people there. Going up there to a lonely place, Wounded Knee. That's a lonely place going up there. You know what I mean? There's nothing up there. It's a, you know, so they can't accuse our people going up there to terrorize. Who are you going to terrorize? They went up there to have a meeting. There's a church up there. You know?
Terrorized. And that's what that was about. We were being terrorized by the cops, by the government. The question that was asked was, when are we going to get our rights, or when are we going to get protected? That was the question. And that upset a lot of these Washita-minded people. See, that's what that was about. We wanted justice. People in that meeting were looking for justice. Where is our justice? Because remember, Raymond Yellow Thunder got thrown, burnt, tortured, thrown away like trash. You know, Bad Hard Bull over in Buffalo Gap. There's a lot of these things going. There's a lot of murders, a lot of killings going on. That's what the question was. Where's our justice? And that's what created this whole mess. These Washichus, these terrorists that come and live here, that it illegally steal our land. The people that wanted to be like them were the ones that started shooting. They were the ones that created the problem, because they were the ones that were helping commit these crimes. See, that's what happened during that time. It wasn't, they weren't out for violence. They wanted justice, equal justice. And it still doesn't exist. It still isn't happening to this day. Why is that? But yet, they could take somebody like this, whatever the heck his name is, this Proud Boys or whatever, give him 18 years, you know. That's nothing, you know, because his organization is still out there doing it. You know, they ain't looking for justice. They wanted to start a war, those guys, here in America. So-called all these white people. They're still not put on a terrorist watch list, or they're not considered violent people. We were. For asking what rightfully belonged to us. What was our rights? Why were they treating Indians like we was dogs to be kicked around? No matter where we went, off-reservation towns, they treated us like crap. And it's still happening to this day, the racism they talk about. These black people holler racism. But yet, those black people are racist against us because they want to be American. That's how America treats us, the people of this land. So in 73, that's what that was about, asking for justice for all of us. You know, our grandfathers fought so we could survive, just to survive. Our grandfathers fought. And then they treated us like we weren't here, like we floated in on a ship. This land wasn't ours because they wanted to steal it. And they were still killing us any way they wanted. And they were getting by with it. You know, this is what was happening on that Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, probably every reservation. And so they were asking for justice, people to be treated fairly. That's what they were asking for. That's what they wanted. And that's what we still ask for to this day. That's why I ask, where, you know, these white people steal a piece of land. They sell it to somebody. Who gave them right to sell that land? Natives didn't do it. They took it upon themselves to do this. They call that stealing. That's thievery. That's against one of their so-called Christian beliefs. Thou shalt not steal. But yet they commit it. When has any of these Washichus that live on these lands ever given an Indian a dime? Or these so-called Lakotas throughout the United States? Have they ever paid us anything? No, they haven't. So where's that equal justice they talk about? They want to get paid rent and all these things for that stolen land that they have this guy sitting on. And they call it, oh, we're leasing it. That land doesn't belong to them, but yet they lease it and they prosper off of it. And yet they continuously steal our land. And they prosper off of it while we don't. And we've never sold nothing. Look at the Black Hills. Look at all this sky trash. Look at all those white people up there now.
That's still our land. The American is really, you know, when you commit a crime, they really go after you. They go out, they prove it. Look, they went after those January 6th guys, one by one. They hunt you down. They're down on crime really bad. They got, but yet there's people that do stuff and they don't do nothing about, you know. I remember, like, you know, this young kid caught a fly, a home run fly at a ballpark. And right after he caught it, a grown man tried to catch, but the ball missed his glove, went in that kid's. So he reached in that kid's glove, took the ball, and left, you know. And they didn't do nothing to him. You know, he even made comments about it. But, you know, there's a law called strong-arm robbery. When you grab something without a gun, you grab something from somebody's purse, somebody's hand, and just take it from them. They call it strong-arm robbery. I remember this house up on Pomona, California. You know, he passed by a lady, and she just lit a cigarette. She lit the cigarette, and right when she took a puff, he walked past and yanked that cigarette out of her mouth and said, "Thank you, ma'am," and took off puffing that cigarette, walked down, went out in the apartment, got in his car, and drove off. Well, next thing you know, they busted him. And what did they bust him for? A 32-cent cigarette, and they call it strong-arm robbery. And, you know, he was trying to fight this beef, you know. Just a cigarette. But you see, when you do that, it's a crime. But yet, some people can do all kinds of stuff, and they don't do nothing, you know. Like they got that Holmes lady for ripping off millions of dollars selling fake blood testing kits, you know. And they just gave her she's blonde, Washichu, you know. And they went after her and locked her up, gave her 11 years or something like that in prison, and fined her $200 million. Well, she deserved that. But if you read about the case, all the people that loaned her money were in it because they thought she was going to make some money, and they're going to get some money out of it. But the minute it didn't work out, they turned on her. And you see, you look about 2 months ago, right there, they're sending me messages, hey, here they're selling, I think it was for a chainsaw or some kind of equipment. You just want the equipment, and dumb me, I answered that email. All you do is pay for the postage. So I said, yeah, I'll take a chainsaw for some postage. You know, and I did it. And here I looked at my bank statement. They took off $90-something out of there. And then, yeah, they were going to deliver the chainsaw, but they were making me pay for it. See, that's a ripoff. You know? And they do that to 50 different people. That's a lot of money that they come out with. You know what I mean? So we always have to watch out and be careful what's going out there, because there's criminals out there. They let get away with everything. And then there's some that they lock up. The same way with, you know, like AIM, American Indian Movement. That place up there, Wounded Knee, is supposed to be treaty land, Indian land. So they're trying to get them for trespassing and all kinds of other crimes, you know, for just being up there, going up to whoever showed up there at Wounded Knee at the time. Everybody got busted. Everybody went to jail. Of course, some of them didn't get big charges. But still getting hauled in and hauled to Rapid City, you know, spending a week or month in jail, that kind of hurts, you know, and having to go to court, you're a poor person. So everybody has to watch out, you know. They do that to us, but by them calling us terrorists, by them labeling us that way, you never know what they can come up with.
Yeah. But
when you think of the Gestapo, the Nazis, who are they? And who is that that comes banging on your door, hauling SWAT and busting in your house early in the morning? Like this young guy named Snow, Indian, he wrote a letter to Ronald Reagan. You know, he kind of griped in the letter. He said, he used hypothetics. You know, if you don't do this, this can happen. If you don't do that, that can happen. But he wasn't threatening, saying he was do this stuff. He was saying, if you do this, it could cause someone to get shot, or it could cause this and that. Anyway, the Fed showed up at his house, all nice. His wife let him in. She gave him coffee, gave him snacks while they were in there, visiting him about this letter. Did you write this letter? Yeah, I wrote it. You know, and he told why he wrote it. Well, 3 months later, 4 o'clock in the morning, boom, 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 they bust his window down, his door down, cuffed up the family, slammed them in front of his kids and everybody. No need for that. They was in his house before. Why didn't they haul him away then? But they came and put him on a big show, haul him away. And when I ran across this guy, he had got 50 years for sending that letter to President Reagan. But yet, what's that guy's name? Turd, they call him Nugent or something like that. He threatened Obama's life, you know. He actually threatened Obama's life, and they didn't do nothing to him.
Yep.
Secret Service visited him, and they let him go, you know. But you see, there's a lot of Indians in prison right now for the most stupidest crimes you can imagine. Crimes they didn't commit or weren't serious crimes, and they really didn't think nothing of it and pled guilty and got big time, you know. This guy probably didn't think he was going to get 50 years for writing Ronald Reagan a letter, so he just went along with it, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, that's how they do. So anyway, bottom line, you know, it'd be, you know, that's why I'm not scared of what I say, because I know what my intent is. My intent ain't to get you or anybody else to go out and cause trouble. I don't want you to do that. Because I know if you go out and cause trouble, you're going to get in trouble. I'll be responsible for it. I don't want to see none of you going to prison, going to jail or something because of something I said, you know. So I encourage you. I encourage our purpose in the American Indian Movement is to
educate people,
the culture alive, you know, like preserve our culture, you know, make our culture last, to encourage our people to learn about our own spirituality. We're not like other organizations knocking on your door telling you to carry the chanupa, you're going to hell. We don't do that. Because to carry a chanupa is an honor. It's an honor. If, you know, it's an honor. It's up to you to have that honor. It's up to you to have the honor to walk on the red road, like they call it, or in the spiritual way, or with a chanupa. That's up to you. We ain't saying, hey, you better do it or you're going to go to hell. You better do it or rah, rah, rah. We're just saying, you know, for the sake of our people, for the sake of our culture, learn this way. Try to learn your own language. Try to learn your songs. Try to learn. And that's the other thing. I was talking about how they Pangaea and these these other places that are, they said before it is now the continents, they had all kinds of names for these, Pangaea, you know, they dreamed up some real fancy names to display things, you know, really fancy names. I was trying to think of remembering some of them names, but, you know, I know Pangaea, Rodinia, Pantalassa, you know, the Washichu who made up all these stories dreamed up some really fancy names, you know, like, it's like the same way when they made Superman. Remember Kryptonite and what's that planet they came from Superman? But they dream up all these fancy names. Well, actually, they're the ones who named Mars and Venus and all that. Uranus. We didn't name them that.
Uranus.
You know? And Uranus. Now, who the hell would dream up that name?
A bigger Uranus,
you know,
Superman.
Yeah, you know. I mean, if we had an extra planet, it'd be called Yupipi. You know? Take a ride to Yupipi, you know. could they call us terrorists for saying that word, you peepee? You know, and
you know,
but
Hershey, we don't ever threaten nobody on this radio show. We just tell it like it is. And what me myself that I'm after is a lot of these, like you were saying, these young kids, they don't understand who they are. We talked about this, you know, about changing their hair, you know, doing all these, imitating all these other people. When we are who we are, you know, and you can't change that. And that's the thing with a lot of these people. They don't think about who they are, especially Lakota people, because the Washitu brainwashed a lot of our people into believing, like what you was talking about this continent and how all this, you know, that stuff's been proven. They lied to our like that flat earth theory. How long did they teach that? I remember being taught that when I was in grade school. You know, this is what they used to believe. They probably still believe things like that. We don't believe in that. We have our culture. We have our history. We are who we are. What we're trying to do is educate people to understand we didn't float in on a ship. We were here before these so-called Americans showed up. And now look at how these people, these Americans, are treating the people of this land. They treat us bad. And yet, they want us to belong to them? No, it doesn't work that way. To me, it doesn't work that way. I am who I am. I'm Lakota. And I'm going to die Lakota. And I tell people that. We never threaten nobody. We just tell the truth and what it is that we are faced with. And the more these Indians, these Lakota people could see that, and understand who they are, the better off we're going to be, because look at, like I was just talking about, how they treat us. They steal our land every day. When is that going to stop? When are they going to pay their rent to us? They have no problem giving another Washitu man all this money for all this land that doesn't belong to them. Then you ask them where they got it. Oh, this guy over here told me I could have it. This guy sold it to me. You know, not to always go back to the so-called Louisiana Purchase that they always talk about. This is how America was born. There wasn't a Native American negotiating about that. It was all Washitus that did this. They stole that land and sold it. We didn't do that. They did that. So why do we get treated the way we get treated? And that's where it goes back to what we talked about in 73, the equal rights. We were never treated as equal. We still ain't being treated as equal. And that's these Hasapas have a problem with that. Now they're talking about getting all kinds of money from the state of California for slavery here in California. What about the Native Americans that they've enslaved at these missions to create these cities?
Put bounties on them.
Yeah, put bounties on them. All of these things. Why is the black man getting paid for something that he doesn't own? That's Native American land there, and the atrocities that was created amongst these people from this land. What happened to that? They ain't fighting for us.
Greed. You see, they're not getting paid for the land. They're getting paid for how they were treated. The point is, here's the point about that, you know. They're getting compensated for how they were treated. But one of the issues was they were supposed to be getting 40 acres of land, too. The other thing is, whose land are they getting? And who's going to pay that millions of bucks to them? Where does this money come from? It comes from the U.S. How is the U.S. rich? Because they make money off of this country, this land, the minerals, the gas, even those oranges and everything that grows out of here actually belongs to the people, the indigenous people that were here. So to me, I would say this. Yeah, go pay them because you treated them bad. But that king, that new King Philip or whatever his name is, he should pay him. That money, these Peckerwoods over here don't have no money. So why, you know, that is an out of jurisdiction issue. I mean, they need to deal with that in Europe and not over here. You know, that's all I'm saying. I agree. The Washichu owes them money for how they were treated. But I don't agree with us suffering. The Washichu comes up with $50 billion to pay off people when we're supposed to be getting that $50 billion because they owe us in rent, lease, and also for things they stole, etc. And like you said, for how they enslaved our people, you know. Now, how they enslaved our people is what they owe us from. But look it, if a guy comes up and robs you for $50 and then has that $50 in his pocket, and then you say you want your money back, and he pays you back $10 out of the $50 you gave him, or he stole from you. See, this money they're paying is money they stole. You know, maybe my logic isn't enough for you to catch it. But you see, the money that this country has, and I heard they're in trillions of dollars in debt, you know, and they make the money anyway. But the point is, They're paying with our money. He stole from us. He's paying for his crimes with our money. And then he's still keeping the other, three-thirds, but that math don't add up. Two-thirds, you know, three-thirds. But you see, what I'm saying is, that is none of our business. Period. It's none of our business. But what is our business is like you said, they're paying those people, but they're, you know, they're not even giving us what they owe us back. Look at how did they value the Black Hills? You know,
hey Wombly,
they only wanted to give us, yeah.
Hey, how they value the Black Hills? It's simple. They're just back. The Wachichis back to their colonial standards. They export raw material from the Black Hills in exchange for imported goods. It's the same colonial mindset they've had for centuries.
But my question wasn't that. My question was the value of the Black Hills. They offered us money. Were you aware of that? They'd offered the Lakota so many millions of dollars. Probably 50 years ago now, you know, and our people wouldn't take it. But they only offered so much million. Well, we didn't take it. And the Washichu and the rest of the societies, even other tribes, they say, you guys always complain you're the poorest people. Why didn't you take that money? You see, that's the logic of the greedy. And for some reason, our people didn't take the money. So why didn't they take the money? They didn't take the money because it must be Wakan. It must be something sacred about that because we all got the same feelings. We didn't accept the money. Because if we accepted that money, then that means them being on our land is paid for. See what I'm saying? Well, right
yes.
Now, all them people living in the Black Hills, it's not paid for. It's still ours. We didn't accept no money from them. If we ever accepted that money, it belongs to them. Even their reservations won't belong to us no more if we accept that money. In other words, they can come over and say, you know what, get the hell off the res. This is our land. Come in with the military and just run us all off and make us go from there. They can do that. But for some reason, our people wouldn't go that route. And we still ain't going that route. And that money that they offered supposedly, what do they call it, accumulated. You know, what do they call that when money accumulates in the bank?
Interest.
Yeah, interest. Yeah, there's interest on it. But even with interest, that, and they divided it up between just the Lakota, say 200,000 Lakotas. We'd probably get a few hundred dollars a piece.
Yep.
And the other thing is they're offering to pay, like Vember was saying, pay the black people $200 million a piece.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And $200 million a piece. And they can't even afford to give us $200 million a piece for what they stole. You see, you know, that's my point. My point is, you know, yeah, pay them, give them money, but don't give them our money because we ain't the ones who brought them over. We helped them out, you know.
Give them land in Europe.
And a lot of, yeah, you know, go over there, make that King of England, where the Mayflower came from, and make them pay. They're the guilty people. They got millions of dollars. They can afford paying for what they did when they came over here, you know? And the other thing is, I would agree more with them people but a lot of times, you know, I have a lot of black friends. We have black people, but yet at no time in none of the meetings they had in San Francisco, in Oakland, over this money, did they say the word, at least, I don't like the word Native American, but they never brought up Native American at all, indigenous. They never did. They only for them. Only for them. Now,
you know,
they say there's...
You talk about these reparations or these, they talk about slavery. Not just a little bit ago, they found a bunch of graves by a mission down here because it was going to develop something, I was going to make something. They found a bunch of graves of kids, you know, between 5 and maybe 15, 16 years old. But the scientists that checked these bones out said that because of slavery, all these kids, all of them, their bones was deformed from carrying heavy loads, a sign of slavery. And you're talking about a bunch of graves that were found of Native American kids. Like I say, I hate using that word too, or Lakota kids is what I usually say.
Yeah.
They found a bunch of, they were enslaved from the time they were little kids until they died. Then these black people want to talk about slavery. These people of California, the real people of California, were put into slavery. All these stone fences that you see around that are the Park Service protects now, those were all built by Lakota people, little kids. They chopped hands off because they wanted to feed their family and stole bread. When one tried to run away, they chopped the feet off. These are the things that these missionaries did and these Washichus did here in California that's never put out there. And yet they're willing to pay these Hassapa people $200 million each. What about these Native Americans? What about these Lakotas that they did that to? Enslaved a lifetime. And nobody even talks about that here in California. These graves were just found not too long ago. Does anybody hear about it? No. And because of slave labor, their growths were stunted because they were malnourished, and all their bones were deformed because of heavy labor. And then these black people want to talk about reparations. And they say slavery. They think that they make it sound like they were the only ones that were enslaved here in California. No, that's not true. The real slaves of California were all these Native people or these people from, these Lakotas from here. What about them? You think these Hassapas included these people? No. It's all about greed to these Sapa people. They don't care. And it was Lakota people, Native people that helped the Underground Railroad. They set that up. They helped these Hassapas escape. Then they say, oh, you Natives had slaves. That was a bunch of BS. How come those black people owned land and grew crops when they lived amongst Native Americans or the Lakota people? They twist all these stories around to justify the great white man. Then these black people fall for that, and then they do things like this, stupid, $200 million apiece. What about all these Native, what about all these Lakotas that from these, they're called Mission Indians. That's how they recognize each other around here. Oh, I'm from this mission. I'm this Mission Indian. They don't say they're Pomo or Wailaki or Numlaki or whatever tribe they're from. I'm a Mission Indian.
Well,
hey, that's shameful.
You know, yeah. And that's all a fact, because everybody knows those Catholics came and snatched Indians, and the first thing they taught them was Spanish. Like us was English. They taught them Spanish, and they made them work, and they enslaved them. You know, there's all the missions in California, San Gabriel Mission, San Juan Capistrano. There's hundreds of them that Indian children built. Children, you know, hauling rocks and stones. Anyway, the point is what Bimber's making is our people down there were slaves. So what's going on here? You know, I mean, yeah, I agree. They treated the black people wrong. I agree. Pay them. But not with our money. But the point is, what about those California Indians? What about them? It's more easier to track them down because, you know, our people, we know where we came from. We know our grandpas. So it's very easy to find out exactly who we are and who deserves, you know, from Californians. If you're only going to consider California, you know, since you're only considering California, it's very easy to find out. And who the, and I would give the tribe, no tribe, the money, but individuals deserve the money. You see, that's the other thing. You know, between us and other cultures, black people and all that, they don't have a tribe. And I always tried to explain to, you know, you can't explain to somebody when they become so Americanized that when you start explaining something to them, they brush you off. And then they go behind your back and talk bad about you. When all you're trying to do is help them out. You know, you're trying to side in and give them sympathy, but they don't want to hear sympathy coming from somebody they consider lower than them. You see, it's like another tribe, you know, some other tribe saying they ran the Lakota off over the Mississippi or stuff like that. They ran us out of, Ojibwe's ran us off, you know, because they read that in a book, you know, or stuff like that. And you know, but yet we have tribes and you can identify tribes, you know, by families. It's just like you come down here to the rest, every family has a unique look. You know, you know what the Crow Dogs look like. You know what they look like. You know what all these, I mean, we all look like Lakotas when you gathered in a bunch, but us, we spotted, it's like, remember, we all knew what a looks twice looked like. Remember them?
Yep.
You know, they all had the looks twice lips. You know, you know, every family had a unique thing. So we could be identified. So, you know, so if there's no fraud here, but they, you know, they don't supposed to pay the tribes. They should pay the families and the families that can prove it, you know. Now, you know, like I said, I agree they screwed over the black man. They screwed him over. They owe him money. But yet, they're supposed to be, from what I, you know, and I don't like reading Google and stuff. I'm always attacking people. But like on the census, like 60 million blacks. That's enough blacks, you know, to even to do something, besides get $200 million from them, you know. There's more they can do than take money. You know what I mean? Taking money, it's like us. I said earlier, the reason why we don't take money is because if we take money, then that Black Hills and this treaty land don't belong to us no more. You see, they're waving money at us, but if we take it, all those white people living in the Black Hills, now they really own it. They could go, they can never call us squatters no more, you know? You know what I mean? But we ain't took that money. But there are some greedy Indians, you know, even a relative of mine said, hey, when they pass out money for the Black Hills, let me know. You know, how with you? I don't care. You think you're my cousin? How with you? You're living over there acting like them. You stay with them, you know? But the point is, just because you're black doesn't mean you deserve the money. Because maybe you're black came from Africa 50 years ago and moved to Oakland or San Francisco. You know? I mean, you can't go by that. But they need to have a tribe or something, but I never known them to have a tribe. Because I never heard one of them say, I'm Swahili or I'm this or I'm that or I'm that. And most of them won't even say they're African. Most of them will tell you they're American. And then they don't even call themselves they call themselves black. It's like they call us red man. They call them black man. Well, we ain't red and they ain't black. And I don't like calling them Americans white man either, because they ain't white. They're kind of orangish, pinkish, or something like that. Palish, you know, something like that. But they're not white.
Newborn kookooshka look.
You know, white.
They look like newborn kookooshka.
White.
Pink.
Yeah. When I see something white, that looks like something white, pure white, clean, blah, blah, blah. And they're not. You know, white, calling them white man, you're trying to make them sound sacred. They ain't. They don't deserve to be called white man. Do they? Do they deserve to be called white man? I don't think so. You know? So why you would, I don't want to call them white man. Call them the bestie. They like being called Peckerwood. So. They like being called Peckerwood. So since they like it, let's call them Peckerwood.
Yeah,
you know, some of them like being called, and even Caucasians ain't white. Caucasians, a real Caucasians from Caucasia, they're not white. They're people of color. You know, but white people, like when a bride gets married, well, I want to wear a white dress. And, it stands for virginity and pureness. You know? Okay, that's good. So therefore, you justify it. I ain't calling no Washitu white man.
Yeah.
Because they don't deserve that color white, you know? You know what I mean?
Evil man.
I mean,
an evil man.
You know? So... I ain't calling them white man. I'm calling them anything else. Invasive species. You know? Even American. That's like calling them Donald Duck or stuff, you know?
You know, country,
that's all
that,
made up.
Country, all these Hassapa people that are pushing for this, 200 million or whatever it is, they forget. They don't know nothing here either. So like you were saying, they ought to take them to England or wherever these boat people are from and give them that land over there and pay them from over there. You know, they stole back in the day, Columbus, Look at all the stuff he stole from here and took over to those people to get out of his criminal acts, you know. And look at the people he stole from here and took over there as president. You know, they forget a lot of these things, these Hasapas, these black people. You know, they should give this $200 million apiece that they're going to get. They ought to give that to these Native American people because they're here. They're poor people too. That's the way I look at it, you know. And yet, the sky charts, the European or the invasive species wants to give them $200 million apiece. You know, to me, you know, it's like calling the kettle black. You know, that's what it is. You know, they're trying to buy these people that they floated these people in on the ship. We didn't. So why are they using what belongs to us? You know,
you see, look at what? Also some more stuff in it. You know, look at the site Greasy Grass, Little Bighorn. Our people fought the Washichu, and you know, got rid of Custer right there on the spot. Our people fought for that place. They fought for it, and some of our people died for it legally, and our people took that American flag from them right there. But who owns that land? The Crows.
Yep.
You go over there to that, they got the tourists. They make money off of Little Bighorn. But the Crows was helping Custer. Here's my point. So the government gave the Crows the land that we fought and died for. They gave it to the ones that helped them. And they accepted it, right? Why don't the Crows say, hey, this ain't our land. We didn't fight for it. Let's give it back to the Lakota.
Yeah.
They ain't going to do that, are they? The same damn thing. These black people ain't going to do that either. If the Crows ain't going to do it, they ain't going to do it. Ain't nobody going to pay us for what's going on. You know?
Yeah.
And you know what? There's families over here on the res. You know? They come from blacks because there's even in the history books, you know, some of them came, our people, when they went to battle, they saved a couple of them people, and they brought them back with them, Unchika, you know. So some of them stayed here. So there's some descendants of these people here on the reservations. We all know what families are what and who is what, you know, on our reservations. So they've been living here and raised as Lakota and all that. But you know, the point what I'm saying is, why does people get on the other side of the fence when it comes time to reality, when it comes down to the time of where you're going to stand on? Now, when we mention this, everybody gets pissed.
Yep.
If you go tell the Crows what I just said, the Crows are going to say, I'm starting trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's a fact. The same way with Great Chief Joseph. Great Chief Joseph, they chased him up to Canada, and he's a great chief and all this. Well, when they came back, what did they do? They put on blue uniforms and helped them catch the Lakota.
Yep.
So, but if you tell them that today, what happens? It's just like Red Tomahawk. Those Red Tomahawks. Those are the ones kill Sitting Bull.
Yeah. Oh.
But if we bring that up, we're no good.
Yep.
So talking about giving the blacks $200 million and you disagree with it, that's saying we're no good. That means we're anti-black. We're anti. That means we're hating on blacks. We're hating on crows. We're hating on Nez Perce. It's like the Lakotas are hating on everybody. And that's the word that's out there, because I heard somebody say that. Lakotas think we're all Wakan and only us are people of God and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. You know, we got a bad name with other tribes.
You know what? The problem with that is we are, you know, we are Wakan. That's the thing. That's the truth. You know, and they got to live with that. That's what do they have? That's the question. Anything that they got today is learned from the Lakota people. We preserved ours. We fought for ours. That's the truth. I don't know why they're hating on us. That's the truth. They got no reason to hate on us, but they do. That's reason enough, because we still have what's ours.
Jealous.
Like he was talking about, our way of life. It's not a religion, Kanshi. That Chinupa is not a religion. It's a way of life. The Makunt Hunka gave that to us. And there's a history that comes with that. And a lot of these other tribes, what do they have? We still have our medicine men. We still have our so-called Jesus Christ. What do they have? Trying to be sky chasha, trying to be like these invasive species. That's the thing. That's all they got. They don't have anything else. They lost it all. Even our allies, the Cheyenne and the Arapaho, they'll tell you that. They lost everything because they gave it away. We didn't. And yet we still try to help them. We still invite them in. We're still kind people. We have a big heart. Look at how many people are playing medicine, man. Look at how much people are playing sundance. Now you tell me how much Lakotas are out there doing that. Very few. You know, a lot of these guys, some of them are Washitu, some of them are Spaula, some of them are Hasapa, claiming Lakota so they could do this. What they don't realize is no man could give that to you. Wakant Hunka is the only one that could give those things to you. And we have people that it was given to. That's the way it works. We still have ours. And all this hatred that these people
something.
Have. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, my Hasapa bro was on the chat, you know, and he don't take no offense. You know what I mean? Because he understands, you know, and he knows we don't have hate. He said the white man is only capable of accomplishing and conquering non-white people with the help of other non-white people. The white man uses non-white people to harm and capture other non-white people.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we said. That's how they got Geronimo. That's how they got us. And that's how they killed Sitting Bull. You know, that's how they kill Tashunka Witko. You know, that's how they got us stuck on these reservations. Because, and even today, you know, and a lot of us, you know, we got, our people got pulled into the military like anybody else. You know, but our people, there's two things. You can, you know, they can drag you in and you can be a slave for them. And then when you get away, it's time to say, you know what, I don't have this, what do they call that? That syndrome. Swedish syndrome or Stockholm syndrome. Stockholm syndrome, you know. When you leave, it's time to realize who you are again. You know, when you get out of prison, you ain't a prisoner there no more. You know, when you get out of the Marine Corps, you ain't a Marine no more. But yet they run around and say, I want a Marine, always a Marine. Siempre fair, whatever they say, you know. And they go off on these trips. And they try to use that word all the time to get ahead in life. There's a Indian standing at the corner in Sioux Falls with a big sign. Veteran, Native American veteran needs help. You know, what? Is that supposed to make him get help better? You know? Anyway, it is true what they say. Our people help them, and that's why we're so weak. There's 200,000 Lakotas on this earth. That's not too many of us, really. I mean, there's only like 20,000 here on the res, 20,000 there, 20,000, and plus the ones that live off the res. We're a small race of people, Lakota people. You know? But we get treated bad by the government.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Look at our casinos. Everything we got going doesn't work. You know? They hinder everything we do. We can't get loans. We can't get help from them. But yet, other tribes live high on the hog. Those Cherokees and a bunch of other tribes, you know? They even help them out with their casinos so they can get some of the money, you know? Anyway, long story short, you know, I don't blame the people.
But it's not.
I blame the invasive species for using us, the wealth they got from us, to punish us with and to go help other people in the world before they help us.
Yeah.
It's like they're giving the Ukrainian a lot of money right now. They're even giving them jets and everything now. Everything. They're spending millions over there. Well, that's our money they're giving them.
Yeah.
You know?
That's our money.
That's our money they're giving them. They already shut down IHS from helping them. And that's a fact. People can look on the records, 2014, and see what happened to IHS when the U.S. started joining in to help that country, Ukraine. And why did they? Why? Because Biden and them are in on their gas lines, their fuel and all that. And they don't care that them Ukrainians are Nazis. They don't care. You know? You know, I might even bring some, you know, I got a good mind. I know some people from over there that will tell you the truth about the Nazis over there and how the Nazis are the ones that are the problem. But since they're white, or I shouldn't say white, how do I quit calling them white? Now I'm calling them white again, you know, because them pales. Yeah, them species, you know, they help those people because the oil, they're stealing oil from Russia. Ukraine owes Russia millions of dollars for oil and heating oil and all that. Well, they quit paying. The minute the U.S. jumped in, they quit paying their bills with Russia. They quit. Mm-hmm. Russia pitied them, so they kept the oil flowing just to keep the people warm. You know? Anyway, there's a lot of story to that, and I don't want to spend the last time we got on here about that. But the point is how they are supporting the Nazis. How the Nazi might be like they're scared of them because when they go public and fly a flag. But yet, those police officers are Nazis. You know, they are Nazis. You know, they're not. This country don't have its own culture. The Washitu don't have its own culture. So that's why they're Catholics, Christians, and even their police and their military is like Nazis. You know? They all have the same style military and all that. And they have the same logic of how to treat another human. Like I said, accusing an Indian of threatening Ronald Reagan, so coming in his house 4 in the morning, busting his windows and hauling him in, terrorizing his family. You know, who did that? The Gestapo did that. You know, they busted in a woman's home. They killed a woman in Kentucky and just busted down her door, and her boyfriend had a gun and shot one of them, so he got locked up for it. They do that. They just come in tonight and start busting in on you. You know? Anyway, anything else on your mind?
Yeah, there's something on my mind here, Wombly. I just got a question for you, man. How is it, excuse me, how is the Wachita going to sit there and call members of AIM an anti-group, or members of AIM, put them on a watch list, you know, or consider a member of AIM like gangbangers to read they're on a watch list? How is this even possible? You know, we're not terrorists. We're not gangsters. The real gangsters are the ones sending 30,000 troops over to another country to go solve a problem. The real gangsters are the ones donating equipment to do harm on the humanity itself. So, I mean, how are they targeting us or just AIM members in general, you know? That's my question.
Well, because that's easy to understand. It's not because of AIM. It's because we're what they call Indians. We're all Indians to them. And all Indians are their enemy. Anytime you take somebody's car from them and drive around right in front of them in their car, they're an enemy because you're driving their car right in front of them. You know, it's like somebody coming, taking your wife and gallivanting right in front of your house with the wife, passing by in your Harley, driving your Harley with your woman in the back, you know, you know. That bothers people, and that automatically makes them an enemy. So they did so much to us that we're automatically enemies to them. And the minute we get together and form a group and give it a name, then that, in their brain, is we're forming a military against them. You know, before we do that, we're just an Indian person. We're just Indians to them. We're natural enemies to them. They made us enemies. They didn't make friends with us. They made us enemies. And then we form a group in their brain, in their logic. Okay, you become militarized. You know, you're a military now. You got a group, your AIM. Anytime you give yourself a name, you become a threat. So that's what's happening with their own kind. They didn't mind the Ku Klux Klan, you know, because Ku Klux Klan was helping them make the black people uncomfortable. So they liked that. You know, the Ku Klux Klan was a law, was their form of policing the society. So you don't mate with white women. So you don't go into their schools. So you stay out of their restaurants. So you stay out of their stores, and you don't walk their streets, you know. So they accept the Ku Klux Klan. And Ku Klux Klan became members of Senate, judges, police officers, and it was that's why they wear those masks and stuff so you don't see who's under them, you know. And then, so they like that. But the minute another group of white people shows up, the Proud Boys, they call them, are different groups, and they disagree. Because now they got Democrats and Republicans. The Republicans are the Nazis, really. They're all Nazis. But the Republicans are the outright, out front racist ones. So they're the ones that believe white is beautiful, white is this and white is that. White is a supreme race. So these Proud Boys and all those groups became they're Republican. That's why they wear that Donald Trump hat. That's why Donald Trump became their savior, because they're out front racist, right? So they started having groups. Now the Democrats and the rest of the white people look at them as, oh, now we got the Confederacy brewing again. You see? That's why they're going after them for that January 6th, because it's back to the Yankees and the Confederacy. The Yankees they're in the White House, the Yankee Nazis. They're in the White House. They're the ones who have the reins. So the Confederates are trying to stop that, and they're wearing uniforms now, the Proud Boys. And those other groups, they, you know, that's why it gets me mad when Amsters start trying to wear uniforms like stupid idiots. You see what I'm saying? You know, we're tribal members. We have feathers. We have other staffs. We have things that represent Native culture, right? Don't we? So why are we going to go marching into a place with an AIM flag, wearing a French, some kind of beret hat, like, what's that guy's name? That one they killed down in Mexico, that Cuban or something, what's his name? Jeez, why have I forget his name? Yeah. Che Guevara. Yeah. Why, you know, so they wear that beret because he wore it. So, you know, we don't need to be dressing up like military. You know, we don't need to be doing that. And it trips me out that our people start doing that. I mean, hey, Vimber, did you ever put on a beret?
Never. I've never worn one. Never worn one of those.
Oh, you sure you don't have a raspberry beret?
It looks like a cob like, patty on your head when you use those. That's what it reminds me of.
Like a smashed cow patty up there. Do you see, Toshi, tell me this.
Yeah.
We don't need to be dressed up like a military, do we?
Nope. Hey, we have our own. We have our own. That's what I've been saying. You know, it's,
well, at Standing Rock.
Why do they want to wear camis? you know, no, why do they want to wear
candy? Indians were, hold on now, at Standing Rock, Indians were showing up, blousing their pants like military, and wearing those jungle hats, camouflage, and painting their face like they're in Vietnam. Yeah, they were doing that.
Because
I've seen them. You know? So, the American Indian movement, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
Why are they getting militaried up? When AIM first started, when Russell Means and all of them went to Minneapolis to fight, not fight, but to stand up for our people, they didn't go up there wearing camouflages and all. They're the ones that made braids back in. Remember?
Yeah.
Before
feathers,
that,
braids.
They went there wearing braids, wearing a staff, and carrying Chanchego with them, drum. You know? We didn't go up there
feathers.
Packing. Yeah, they were wearing feathers and having long hair, and that's why the Amsters then started getting traditional. They got traditional. But now you look on those AIM pages of these AIMsters. They're trying to look all militaried out.
You know, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. They're trying to mimic.
You can't tell them nothing.
US, you know, what does Layla have to say about that?
Layla,
what do you got to say about that?
Is that her snoring?
Hurry it up.
Oh, is that you? Layla, was you snoring?
Layla.
Yes, Glenn.
Layla. What the hell's going on with you, man?
I'm thinking. I have a story to tell. I'm trying to figure out when I can get a word in edgewise.
Well, you got a word in now, but now you're running out of time. The more you're stalling over there thinking.
I know.
You know? So make it quick. Can you do it? Talk like the
I'll try. Okay, you're talking about not being afraid of the FBI. So years ago, Leonard, I was talking to him on the phone. He was Leavenworth, and he asked me to help him with my music. So I wrote a song for him. So I got a good recording of it. And one afternoon, I'm sitting on my computer. I'm about to send the song to Facebook. So I'm at the computer. I go click to send the song immediately. My computer shuts down stone cold, and I had a friend in D.C., so I know the area code. All of a sudden, this little burner phone that I have, no one has the phone number for this phone. The phone rings, so I look at it. It's a 202 number. I go, okay, it's Washington, D.C. A lady comes on the line and says, the FBI has decided that. I slam the phone down, and I yell in my, I'm in my bedroom, I yell, I am not afraid of you. 20 minutes later, my computer comes back on. For 30 minutes, it's running the strangest program I've ever seen in my life. Now, that's what I've experienced. Do you think I'm afraid? No way.
Well, okay, let's get back to what Bimber asked you, though. Remember, what did you ask her?
What do you think of these guys mimicking, like, the military dress, all these
our Minnesota friends, I call them the Boy Scout troops with all their patches. So that's a starter.
I mean,
you don't hear me saying that. I said that a lot of the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing that you know I question is why are you getting dressed up like a lizard, you know, and putting beret on, painting your face, and you know, I mean, we have our own. We, you know, like Tunch, you said, braids. Some of those guys had feathers. You know, they had long hair. You know, this is what they represented. This is who they were. Now look at all these people claiming American Indian movement, flying these American flags and, you know, doing all these things. They're trying to be like this so-called the war machine in America.
Okay, I'll give you an example. When I think of AIM, I think Russell Means. I think Dennis Banks. I don't think AIM. All these people, they're throwing their identity away so they can be a group.
Yep, there it is there. So they can be a group.
Mentality.
You know, the thing is, so back to that. That's being a terrorist by the government, you know. You make it worse when you go show up like a group.
Yep.
Instead of, we're voicing Native American issues as Native Americans. And I don't like to use that word, but like, remember, as Lakotas, as Apaches, as tribal members, not going up there wearing French berets and looking like the Boy Scouts, you know, looking like the Boy Scouts. She said it. And they're doing that. They're showing up to protest looking like the Boy Scouts or like a biker group. I remember Tanshi, myself, we used to cruise around in Harleys all the time. But we didn't dress, we didn't look like a biker to drive a Harley. We still looked like us. I never wore no big fancy motorcycle boots and big chains and all kinds of stuff to drive a Harley. I just bombed around on it. Same way with Tahunshi. He just looked like instead of a horse, he was on a motorcycle.
Read my
he
mind.
Like a warrior on a horse. You know, look like a warrior on a horse. But, you know, our people start imitating who they join. So these Indian rappers are starting to imitate the black rappers, dressed like them, throwing 50 braids on, painting the tips of them, bleaching them, you know, wearing their pants low, you know, stuff like that. You know, and then I seen these Indian rock groups start trying to look like rock and rollers, you know, wearing leather skins and stuff. And anyway, we're running out of time once again, but anybody got a last comment and want to make it quick? You got to talk like the chipmunks.
Let me hear you. Good show. Good show, man.
Yeah. Good show, man.
Right.
Or sound like the auctioneer. Remember, sold. You can sound like an auctioneer. You can get on and tell me your whole life story if you can say it in 2 minutes. You know, but. Anybody, all
my
your
brothers,
lines are open.
I love
Phillip,
you, my brother.
Layla, Vember, Wayne, you know, the trip is this. We're here to preserve our culture. Teach our people to remember spirituality. And if you're going to think of a color, if we're going to think of colors, let's remember the colors stood for the elements.
Yep.
That white color never stood for a white man. So don't you go be preaching that. I hear Indians preaching that. They say the white color stand for the white man. The black color stood for the black man. The yellow color stood for the Asian man. And the red color stood for us. That is not true. So don't be teaching that. That white color does not stand for the white man. Remember that.
Yeah. We've always had those colors.
You know?
We've always had those colors.
Before they showed up, before we even knew they existed, you know? So,
why do you think
so?
People
but they got pink. These New Age Indians running around. I was laughing. These New Age Indians try to say the Spaniards brought the horses over. And I was reading an article about Spain, They said they had some paints over there and they're going extinct. Why is that? If they're the ones that invented the paints, why are they extinct over there and we got millions of them over here? You know? Because they were here before 500 years ago. These horses were here for since the beginning of time like us. That word, when we call a horse Tashunkawaka, that word isn't just a 500-year-old word, right?
Yep, it goes way back.
Tashunkawaka, that word is a Lakota word that came out of our language when we started speaking our language in the beginning of time.
Yep.
So to say that the Spaniards brought the horse and all that, that's the stupidest crap I ever heard. Stupid.
It is. It is. It's a lie.
And while with along the other lies, they believe that we came from China 10,000 years ago.
That's a lie.
You know, you know, so many lies, you know, it's unbelievable that people will believe them. But anyway, I'm already getting riled up. We need two more hours for me to get down to being riled up, you know. You know, I need to watch another Pablo Escobar movie here. So I could shut the windows, turn the lights off, and get on to the tea, you know.
Act like Pablo.
Yeah. Pull in my baby German Shepherd and get armed to the T and turn all the lights on.
Crawl around on the floor.
Yeah. Sneak out on the ground and do security out there around the, you know.
But, every now and then peek by the window.
Know, yeah. Even too scared to pee, you know. But anyway, you know, you all take care out there. And remember, it's not about war, making war. It's about learning and education.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the weapons. We have Chanchega, and they're scared of that.
Yep.
They're scared of that drum. Remember that. When we start singing on the drum, they run and hide. You know? They run and hide. Anyway, Tanshi, take over right now.
Oh, well, let's say a prayer and close it up. Controlled the Mongolacon, I'm Kigurston Punkolo, Pilat Hunka, I don't get any jobs from Gashla. Now, you hear Lat Hunkashla, we chose on me. Woke your stash, the ones first dish, the air, Unichila Punko, Unshunkilon, Unka Piet Hunkashla, left item. Unshunkilapo, how Mitakias.
Oh, Dakoyasi. Anyway, we're going to go, and I hope that all of you have a good. Don't call it, you know. It's time for Frank Foytas and Hamburgers, the Memorial Day weekend. They have a Memorial weekend coming up, so they're going to have a anyway, they're going to be raising flags and all that. The only thing I ever looked at was I remember it's about all about Hamburgers and Frank Foytas, you know, people be having, you know. You know, so yeah, Hamburgers and Frankfurters, you know. So take care, everybody, and remember, you know, remember the four colors. Remember the directions, you know.
Rahu,
Doksha.
Doksha.
You know, your son should die at all.
Ha elvecsütöm, én a tapsapeltől most így jusskál, kevon kicsikálkozom.